Sorry. This is the second day of the taping.
Talk right in here.
Right into the old little round.
Now remember, your last words were, you left Greenwich Village, you left your uncle, and a new world. You went into the subway, but you came out, and a new world was going to begin.
A new world.
Sit closer.
Later I learned it was Grove Street.
In where?
In Jersey. I didn't know it was Jersey City at the time. And I didn't know where to go. Then I began to wonder what I was going to say. What would I say?
And how old were you again, tell us?
How old were you? Going on eight.
8 years old.
Yeah. That's why I tell you, children, you don't let children hear anything, know anything. Because if you do, they can put you up against the cross. So, well, I went to school. I don't know whether I was in the fifth or sixth grade, but I went to school, and I could read and write. So I began to walk. Now, the description of where I walk, that was Grove Street. To get to where I was, I had to walk 20 blocks or more. I seen the people walking, white people. I looked down, seen a few colored people, white people. And I came to a hospital, which later I found out what the Jersey City Hospital was. I walked past that and I kept walking. I seen a couple of cops and things. I wouldn't ask nobody anything. I kept walking, walking. I must have walked about an hour. Then all of a sudden, it was a straight walk, straight going on down the street. I didn't turn no corners or nothing. All of a sudden, I heard a noise and I looked to my left. Yes, that was on the left-hand side of the street. And there I seen children in a playground. The children all was between the ages of 7, 8, and 10, as I figured out later. And they were playing, and I didn't have any time to play. I didn't know what to do. So I goes in, I sits down on something like a bench or something. I sit there a few minutes, and then I got up and went over to where one white girl was swinging. And she says, "You want to swing?" I said, "Yes." So she says, she put me in the swing, and I swung. She pushed me. So I said to myself, "She's nice." So she came over to me. She says, "Where do you live at?" I says, "I don't know right now, because my aunt brought me here and told me to stay here until she come back." Yeah, all right. So she pushed me. Well, time was going fast. I don't know what time it was. Maybe that was the time school had to be out, because that's what I came from. So I remembered that. So all of a sudden she says, "The aunt hasn't come back yet?" I says, "No." She told me, "Wait here for her." She says, "We'll give her a little more time." She says, "Are you hungry?" I said, "Uh-huh." So she says, call her brother. I think it was her brother. She called him Tony. I think his name was Tony. So she says, "Listen, we've got to get this kid to her, find her aunt, and take her home." So he says, "All right. What must I do?" She says, "I'm going home. It's getting cloudy. It's getting dark." See, that was at, must have been after 6 o'clock. So she says, "I'll go home and get something to put on her and a sandwich, and you go after the cop." And I heard the word cop. I didn't like that idea. Not that I know anything about them too much, but I know it wasn't, I didn't want to go no law. So she says, "You sit here on this bench until I come back." I said, "All right." So when she left, the boy went in one direction and she went in the other. I gets up out of the seat and go and look to the red standing on a corner. You know how the corner is, uh-huh. Street going that way, street going that way, street going that way, street going that way. Lots of red there, just like we was you with you today. I stood there and waited for the them to come back. I waited and I waited and I waited. And finally, someone touched me. She says, "I'm back." I was so happy. She had in her hand a big sandwich and a cake, Red Riding Hood cake, with a, what do you call them things on to you?
A hood.
With a hood on it. And it was red, and didn't I love it? And she put it around me and put the hood on my head. And then she says, "Now here's your sandwich." She says, "I don't see my brother with the cop yet." I said to myself, "Oh, the God, he doesn't come." We looks down the street and here come brother. Brother was about a block from us. So in the meantime, she turned around, she says, "Here, I brought a lady who said, who she don't know you, but she will take you home until it's time for your aunt, and they will look for your aunt." I says, "All right." So this woman was a little bit taller. She was taller than me, see. And she says, "What's your name?" I says, "Mabel." She says, "Mabel, do you know where you're at?" I says, "No." She says, "You're in Jersey City." I said, "I don't know Jersey City." She said, "How do you come here?" I says, "My aunt brought me here. She told me to sit here until she came back." "All right," she says, "come on, because it's getting late." And I just left my boyfriend in the bar. She drank a lot.
Is she white or black?
Black. So she says, "Come on, I'll take her home to mother." So they live, now she lived on 5th Street. That was 7 or 8. And somewhere going into Grove Street, somewhere around in there. I didn't find those things. So she says, "Come on now." I'm thinking, I turned and looked. I'm thinking that that boy in the cop, I could see them. So I says, "All right. I know when to talk and when to shut up." So she took me by the hand. She says, "Come on." And thanked the girl. The girl kissed me. Goodbye. She says, "I'll tell the cop the lady's got you." It's all right. She says, "But the cop will think that that lady's your aunt, and I don't know what to tell him." "I saw it. You tell him." It's all right. So I go on with this woman. We walked. She cut through streets like we were doing the park this morning. And she held me by the hand. She was a trifle bit taller than me. She must have been a woman around 5. She had to be around 5'6", something like that. Because I haven't grown. So. Mm-hmm. Okay. So she took me, and we walk and we walk and walk and walk and walk and walk. Then we walk and walk and walk some more. Then we kind of turn into another street, and all was private houses, all nice private houses. So she says, "Well, here's my mother," and she opened the gate, and we went up a flight of stairs. There was the porch, and she says, "Mama, I got an offering here for you."
You have to stop again.
So they opened the gate.
The gate.
We went up a flight of stairs on a porch. And she says, "My name is Bessie." So I said, "Miss Bessie?" She says, "Yes." She looked at me and smiled. She was a little bit taller. She was a little taller than me, but not too much. So I looked at her. I says to myself, gee, she's good looking. Say to myself. So she says, Mama, I brought you a little lost girl. You have to take care of her because I'm going back. She was going back with her boyfriend to her boyfriend or something. Mama says, you don't stay home no time. She says, that's okay, I'll be back. So she went on back downstairs, and Mother took me by the hand and led me in. She says, you're a big girl. I said, yes, ma'am. In the room sat a gray-haired man and another girl, lighter than all of us. So Mother says, Miss White, she says, my name is Ellen White. I said, Miss White. She said, who learned you how to talk? It's my aunt. I go to school. I said, I go to school. So she said, that's very nice. She said, you're hungry? I said, yes, ma'am. I ate the sandwich the girl gave me. So she scrambled some eggs and had some biscuits. And I think she had bacon or something. She said, told me to sit down at the table. I sat down at the table. And she said, just like you said, watching me. And I bowed my head, said my grace. So she turned to the man, she says, Papa. So she called him, she says, Papa. This girl has had some bringing up. So he says, yeah. I didn't like him at all. Well, I didn't look at him. I just said nothing. She turned to the girl, the light girl, sitting at the other end of the table. She says, Ellen, here's a girl who's going to be with us for a while until I can find her people. To me, I say to myself, you'll never find them. I dropped my head and ate my thing. Ellen says, Mama, she can sleep with me. I said to myself, that's good. I like her. Good looking, great balls of fire. I have her picture. And she's tall, light brown skin. She had, Her hair was longer than mine because she had it all up in a turn around like that. So she got up and she says, when you get through eating, I'll take you to the bathroom. You can come with me to my bed. I said, yes, ma'am. So she's named after her mother. So she said, Mommy, I'm going. In the room. Now there, the situation of their house was different. It's just like an ordinary house today. There was a room upstairs, a room downstairs. You come out on the porch from the kitchen, stove, everything, table, dining room, everything. So after I got through eating, Miss White took me and she took me to the bathroom, gave me a towel and things to wash. I still didn't cry. Say, I'm a very stubborn woman. So she washed my face and washed my hands. She gave me, went in there and got a little nighty from Ellen, brought it out, put it on, put my shoes on. And I know she searched my clothes to find out who I was, where I come from. She couldn't do it. See, because I had left everything behind me. I didn't leave it in the park. I left it on the train, the papers and things I had. So she says, we'll look for your people tomorrow. Well, I knew the description I'd give them, they would never find them. I told Rufo that my uncle, that I live with my uncle, and he was a minister, and that I, that they went shopping, came over, came here and went shopping, and he told me to sit in the park till they come back. Well, I had to remember that story, because that story had carried me half through life. So she says, all right. Now, we goes, carried me into Ellen's room. She combed my hair. Had a lot of hair on my head. And she rolled it up. And so she says, okay, we'll say our prayers. I said my prayer. And I know she watched me like a hawk watching a little chicken. See? Because the kid and so smart, where did she come from? So, sleep. So we got in a bed, she put me, she took me in her arms and helped me, and I fell off asleep.
How old was she, Ellen?
She must have been about 19 or 20.
Oh, she was much older than
me. Yes, much older than me. And she helped me in her arms, held me tight. And oh, I was so comfortable, girl, I slip up a breeze. So, next morning we got up, and she told, her mother told her, now we got to start inquiring about this kid. We can't keep her. That's a no-go. We got to send her to school. Like, he was the first one who ran his hand up my dress, feeling my pussy, and I told Ellen.
When did that happen?
Well, that happened about 6 months or 7 months later.
Okay, go back to the second day, and then we'll bring it up today. Go back to the second day, and then we'll do
second
like
day.
A few years.
Okay, so next door to us was, next door to this house was Italian people. Everything around there most was white and Italians. And Mama called in the Italian friend and told him they were all going to send out a searching party looking for this woman. They couldn't find the woman because I didn't give them the description where I lived there. So, she says, you don't remember the place? I says, no. But I knew where I come from. I knew every part about me. So, because I know my uncle would kill me if I ever told him that he was trying to mess with me. So he'd kill him. He's nasty. If he killed that white man, you know he'd kill a nigger. So that's why I wouldn't tell him. I was just old enough to have good sense. Whenever they spoke to me, I had a word for them. So 2 days passed, 3 days, nothing. They went to the churches. Nobody said anything about missing a girl. They ain't thought about New York now. They ain't thinking nothing about New York. They figure I come from Jersey, in Jersey. So I just let them think that. So until then, Ellen said, Mama, we'll put her in school. Maybe by the end of the year, somebody says. So they sign me up in school. And what they told the teacher there, I don't know, but that was Cole, Monmouth and Cole. Monmouth Street and Cole Street time. 32, I think the number of school was 32. And I got along with all the kids and everybody. I didn't try to beat up nobody because I was too scared. See?
Was it black and white students too?
Okay. Yes, in Jersey City it was black and white. So you didn't have to worry anything about me hitting somebody because we all was the same. And then I went to Sunday school and I played with the kids and Italian boys and girls. They were very nice to me. Naturally, Italian boys, they want to get a little bit, you know. They would run me ragged. The new girl, I'd fight them, and that was the end of that. So that all went for a whole year.
Did you ever get lonely, Mabel, or cry, or feel sorry for
you? I was too stubborn to do anything. See, I didn't even tell Ellen. See, Ellen was the first woman that kissed me. I didn't tell her.
About where you'd come from?
Where I come from? Oh, nothing. Nobody knew where I come from but Mabel.
How did you feel, like the other kids had family? You know, they lived with mothers or fathers. How did that make you feel? Did you feel
Miss
like an
orphan? White? No. And Miss White said that maybe my aunt and uncle wanted to get rid of me. And that was a good way to do it. After a year. See? And they read in the papers and something. They didn't say nothing about no missing paper. Many years later, I discovered that he said he looked from me. He didn't look nothing. He didn't want me. See, all they wanted was the money and what was brought to them. So that comes in on another part of the story altogether. So then Papa, he started. They showed me how to do work and different things, you know.
What kind of work?
Housework, see. And showed me how to cook and like that, see. Nobody showed me those things. Well, and Ellen was there. Ellen was going with another fellow named Benny Harris. And he was a light fellow. He was good looking. And he would take me to little parks and playgrounds and things like that. So there's a pause in there where Benny wanted to marry Ellen. Ellen didn't want him. His mother wanted her son to marry Ellen. Of course, she said Ellen was a good girl. Ellen was gay, now that I know it. She was. So, every night I slept in her arms. See? And anything happened during the day, I would tell her. So she had a girlfriend that lived at the end of the street, and they were in private houses. Everything was private houses. And she found out later, she told this girl she loved me, and she wished I belonged to her. This man, he told Lilla, they were talking one night, and he and his mother and him sat down to talk to Ellen's mother. Ellen was out, up to the other girlfriend's house, and I was in there. And the mother told her, if Benny can't marry Ellen, nobody else will. I'll see to that. They've been friends going to school, see, the mothers. So she says, I'll see that she don't marry nobody else. Well, Ellen's mother began to cry. She said, why would you do that to me, my family? She said, because I want Ellen in my family. She's your first child, so that meant they must have been gay together, them two women. See, I didn't understand the time. Now that everything's going on, I understand it. See, she accidentally had this Benny, by another man. And then I think he was a white man. And she wanted him to marry her girlfriend's daughter. That's the way I figured it out. And so she says she won't live to marry anyone else if you don't make her. But Ellen didn't love the man. She didn't care nothing about that damn guy. So anyhow, it figured out. They carried on. She would come every other day or some, and they would eat and talk and cry, eat and talk. So I told Ellen. So Ellen goes to her mother. She says, why do I have to marry Benny? I don't know what the answer her mother gave her, but she wound up marrying Benny.
Mabel, talk about the first time she kissed you. Talk about the first time she kissed you. She kissed you first.
Yes,
she was the first woman who kissed you.
She kissed me. About 3 years later.
When you were how old?
I can't exactly remember.
12 or 13?
No, I was older than that. I must have been about 13 or 14 years old. Mm-hmm. Because I felt funny when she kissed me. Mm. Oh, I didn't know. I felt funny.
Good, funny, or bad?
I don't bad or good. I know it was a funny feeling. And I held on to her so tight. She says, I believe you're older than you say you are. We were in the bed, so I laughed. She says, you'll never tell me, she says, but I'll find it out. So from then on, she took me under her wings. Don't care where I went, she had to know where I went. And my mother asked why, but she was so interested in me. And she said, I just don't want to get in any trouble with any of the boys. Grandma said, she ain't going to get no trouble. So I call her Grandma, by the name of Ellen White.
How long did you live with them?
I stayed with them 4 or 5 years.
And going to school the whole time?
I was going to school right from their house.
And did you work too? You work for them?
No, I didn't work with nobody. I'd come home and do my chores home, and you know what I mean, and help with the house and all like that. And every time you look, Papa's trying to put his hand under my dress, I'd beat it next night and tell Ellen when she was holding in her arms. Yeah, that's how mm-hmm. she knew. And she would take next day, because he knew that I told her, and she would get mad at him, wouldn't speak to her father, and he and she would take me up to her girlfriend's house to stay a couple of days till Papa cooled down. The mama turned around. That's why I don't care too much for some people. Mama says, these old fresh children coming around, they're always, in those days, the blame, they don't care how young a child was or how old it was. If the child told them the man was doing something to them, they'll put it on the child.
They still do.
I guess you're right. Why is that?
What do you think?
Well, I don't know.
I think to protect.
Protect what? Well, what the hell are they going
to protect? Well, because they
protect
friends,
the family.
Right, to protect the fa- they don't want to believe that someone can do that.
Well, shoot. And Pop, he'd get mad and hit at me, and I'd run up down the street to the other girl's house and stay there till Ellen come from work.
So you love Mrs. White? Did you love Mrs. White?
I loved them all. I didn't pay him any attention because I had Ellen to protect me, see. And that went on. Oh, that went on for quite a while. Well, I went to school. And still, Mrs. White used to say that she'd look at me. She said, I can't understand how your aunt left you. Are you sure what you told me was so? I said, yes, ma'am.
And you never told anybody about Winston-Salem or your grandmother or the house?
Nothing. It was not until 14 years later that they found it out. They didn't find it out then. Well, I told them. See? And my mama says, I knew something was wrong. She says, but I'll give it to you. You're a good girl. I couldn't have stood up under it like that, knowing what happened. I'd have went to the cop. I didn't want to go to the cop, because first thing, they would tell the cop that I was fresh and ran away or something like that. They wouldn't believe that the man could do something to a young child. You understand? In those days, the parents and the grown-up people had it all planned it out. It didn't happen. It happened like he said, not like she said. See, that's what's wrong with the world today.
So you stayed with
him? So I stayed with him for 5 years. I don't know, I was quite an old child when I left then. 'Cause I
17, 18?
I was only 18 years old. I went to... So?
You got a job. What kind of job?
Got a job. That's after I graduated from 8B.
You graduated from 8B?
8B, that's all.
Uh-huh.
See? Because 8B was the highest they went. And I finished the 8B. And then I left.
Do you know what year? Do you have any idea?
No, I can't figure...
Okay, we'll figure it out.
I can't figure that out. It was after 5 years or something. Because when I went to... When I left school, I left them. I stopped. I left... How I come to leave them. Ellen got married. And I didn't like him. She had a baby. And she told her husband, one night they were talking, she says, you take my baby and Mabel. If anything happens to me, you take my baby and Mabel. Now, she died mysteriously. So always believe that woman done something so she could take the baby. See, okay. She, Ellen wasn't sick or nothing. She wasn't sick. She just went to sleep and didn't wake up anymore.
How did you feel?
Oh, girl, I've seen so much done to people that you would be surprised.
But she was someone you loved.
Yeah. And so the day after the funeral, he takes me and the baby and carries us up to a woman's house to live, for me to take care of the baby. This woman had a whole lot of children from the state, and she knew this poor fella. So she says, all right, we'll two stay there, and Mabel stayed, we'll take care of the babies too, both of them, all of the babies. In this is the thing, in this tale, we were there. I was there. I can't tell you right this minute how long, but a week, 2 weeks or maybe, after the baby and I was installed in this woman's home, she calls me next morning. She says, the baby will not live. I asked her why. She said, because the mother has come after it. That's what she told me.
You mean Ellen?
Yeah, Ellen. She described what she looks like. She said, you know, I don't know what she looks like. Miss Robinson was her name. I says, no, if she came. She says, yes. She didn't want the baby to live in the beginning. And the baby's only around about a couple of months old. She said, so you are free to stay here, but the baby won't be here with us. When Benny came that night, she told him. She says, I've seen your wife. The baby will not live till morning. I'm sitting right there. So I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe it. So she had 6 or 7 children, boys and girls. One, the oldest one, was about 14 years old. He was a white boy, white in color. The city put them there for her to take care of. So she says, Mabel can stay as long as she wants to, and she'll be one of my family. She says, but the baby won't, so you might as well prepare tomorrow to bury the baby. We sit up all night. You know that baby went to sleep and never woke up? That's right. I've come in so many different things. You don't know how I've lived under them. But I've lived under them. And see how treacherous people are. I should take a shotgun and go around shooting all the women and men. When I think about it, how people do each other, how cruel they are to each other. So she says, next morning, Benny stayed all night. Baby never woke up. Miss White, she got mad because I had left the house and everything. I don't know. I dismissed. You see, there's a lot of things I could tell you, but I dismissed them from my brains, you know. So then she moved up on Seedless Street, 52. I think it was, no, it wasn't. 52 was the other street. She bought a home down. This was up in the, up like you, the Harlem and Bronx, like the Bronx. But I forget the name of that street. But anyhow, I think I got letters home and things home from that. Anyhow, she, I didn't see her anymore. I began to go around with girls and things like that, see? They would take a different show.
Let's talk about that, maybe. You say you began to go around with the girls, right?
Well, I mean, I met a lot of girls then when I got a job.
The
first job I went to, I think it was Mrs. Parker. Now, they was hooked up with, what is that company's name? All over the world now. I can't think of it right this minute. But anyhow, she had two children. One child I liked because the child's name Ellen. Little blonde. The other was a brunette.
They're white?
Yeah, they were white.
Were you doing cleaning for them?
Cleaning for them and taking care of the children and like that. And she liked me very well. So, before I did that, where was I at and what was I doing? I answered an ad or something, and this woman was a middle-aged woman with gray hair. She was old like I was now. See, maybe she wasn't quite as old. Bambrick, I think their names were. It was on a son and a mother, and she taught me how to cook real good. First time.
You were like 18, 19 years old.
Yeah, uh-huh. So many things happened to me in one year or 2 years.
This is around 1920. These are the beginning of the 1920s.
It had to be.
Yeah.
It had to be. So I stayed with them about 2 years. And then I come in on this other job of the other job with the, with the two children. Bambrick and them, he was a lawyer. And she never, in the meantime, I fall for a colored woman who worked down below where I was with these children. And her name was Drummond. She was a tall, good-looking black woman with beautiful mixed gray hair. And she was so nice. Oh, she was so nice. She would bring things to me and take me places and like that.
Was she in the life?
I don't know. Never would find out. But in the meantime, I got attached with some gay men.
How did you meet them?
Oh, well, you know how you meet somebody maybe on the street or something. Hello, 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 and like that, see. And by getting mixed with them, I got mixed with women. By getting mixed with women, I got more gay men. And I used to, Miss White had moved up into, I think, the Seedless Street. I have to think that thing out. And these fellas used to come up and see me, and they sat on the porch and talk, you know. The fun part, they wouldn't talk about their life. See, they would switch around and talk in an offhand way to keep me from knowing that they were gay. Now I know they were gay. But then I knew they were queer, because I'd had so many girlfriends that were queer.
Already at the seat, you got to fill in.
Huh?
How many girlfriends? When you say you had lots of girlfriends, that
well,
were
there was. Wait a minute, ma'am. I went to church. I think I went to church a couple of times, and I met when I was days off. I would meet girls in church and we would laugh and talk. You know, we were just what I need. That all I need. So. Then I went, I come and school with a girl named, what's her name now? Don't tell me, don't forget my little dear's name. Her name was Viola Belfield. She was a staunch old boy. We used to go to bed and have a ball.
Now, is she older than you?
We both were around about the same age. But they was all New York people, not Jersey people. See, I'm out of Jersey. These was all New York women, see. And then I began to go to theater.
What did she look like,
honey? She reminds me something of, what's that girl that gave Sister what's that girl's name? She wasn't
Sabrina?
Quite as tall, because Laquita.
Sabrina.
She was something of her complexion and all, but she wasn't quite as tall as she was. And then she introduced me to other people, and then I just had a ball. Then I used to go to her house and stay all night. Her people liked me. And oh, I could put the charm on. All of them was in the life. But
right,
I found
but did she dress in a
certain No, way? No. She just dressed ordinarily. She didn't put nothing, no shirts, nothing on like that. And me, I just put skirts and blouses on. That's all. See? And most of them, I would wear, half the time I was wearing socks. See? So, and then they introduced me to so many other women, which comes in, Ethel Waters, all of them, because we got into the show people in
we
New York.
We got to do a whole tape on that.
So.
Go back, so you're sitting on the porch, and all these gay queer guys are there. Then we'll go back to that. And they don't know you're queer.
Oh, no, they don't know nothing about me. No. These fellas doesn't know it or anything. Because when they get ready to talk, they would talk in a different way, thinking they're throwing me off the track. Mm-hmm. And I wouldn't say anything at all because I didn't want them to know who I was. See? And I used to go to their house and have dinner. The mother used to always make biscuits and things for me. And what's that fella's name?
Piggy.
And Piggy and his friend, they were just like that. Piggy and his friend and a couple of more would sit out on the porch and they get ready to talk. They're talking pig language. So I wouldn't know what they were saying. I knew what they were saying. And I wouldn't talk in no other language at all because I didn't want them to catch on to my business. So Miss White liked them. I went to see her. She lived in Cedar Street. I went to see her. And I just kept working.
So
and
talk about what you did in New York, how they would take you, where would they take your girlfriend when you come to New
Well, if they took me a place, they would take me a pig in them. Would take me to some of their friend's house. See, they don't know I'm queer. So I can't figure how. I know how they found it out. I was going with some girls and they wanted to give me a birthday party. And they wanted to bring me in so that pig in them, because there was quite a bit of those gay men. And they wanted to bring me in. So these girls formed the party that included the men in it, see, and every one of them was gay, and told them, I think, did they tell them this was for, how did they form that party? That's the point, because when I can see them now, when I walked in, or when they walked in, it was a party. Well, they had drinks and everything there.
Was this in New Jersey or New York?
No, this was in New York.
Where?
Now, let's see. That was up in... Wait a minute. That was at Piggy's house. Piggy lived... See, I had met Piggy a long time before in Jersey. See? Young girl. But I liked his mother was very nice and all like that. And I knew they were queer, so I would hang around them just to see what they would say. So it seems like they don't know it's me. And these girls have told them that the butch was coming, was giving a giving out party for butch. And, yeah.